The disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned when they saw a blind man?" Now, they were showing off a little bit. They were showing off their knowledge of the Old Testament, because there is this said a couple different times that sometimes that evil can be so great that it gets visited on not just the original evildoer, but on into generation after generation after generation, evil continues to propagate itself. And so the disciples here are calling on that tradition, that understanding, that, in fact, I could be harmed by decisions made generations earlier. Now, that's not the subject of this morning's sermon, but it could be. Instead, what does it take to look at somebody who's suffering? In this case, the man's been blind since birth. And what does he do for a living? He begs. And he hopes he can get enough to survive. His parents are working and trying to get enough to maybe set something aside so when they go that there will be some way to take care of him, because there's no national health insurance in Palestine at this time. So they obviously were worried. And so the disciples, instead of looking and seeing the man, instead of looking and seeing the human being, they say, "Who sinned?" They turn it into a theological abstraction. And the man disappears behind the teaching, behind the law, behind the theology. And the assumption is that Jesus is somehow going to tell the disciples who sinned and make it clear. There's something good about this. It does show that no matter where we are or who we are, there's something about being human that makes us ask questions, fundamental questions. And it's this question asking that finally, in the 17th, 18th century, leads to what we call today modern science. The disciples want to know, how is it that he is blind? Why is it that he is blind? And they think they know the answer. It's either he sinned or his parents sinned or somebody in the back. And what's Jesus' answer? Now, you have two answers. I'm going to ask you to take your bulletin and look at on page 3 of your bulletin. And this is how it reads. This is from the official translation that the Episcopal Church uses and that most mainline churches use, the New Revised Standard Version. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, now, this is what to pay attention to. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Okay, good. "He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Isn't there something really sick about that? Honestly, I mean, just, you know, forget you're a Christian, forget you're all theologians, and this is the Bible, and we look at each other, we know how good we are. Just forget all that, and just like think like this is the first time you've ever heard that. This guy is blind so that Jesus could do something miraculous, and everybody would say, "Ooh ah." Doesn't ring true, does it? Well, you know what? It's not true. One of the problems with translating from one language to another is that the language is never equal, never equivalent. We have words that they don't have, they have words that we don't have. If we look at the Greek text in which this lesson was originally written, we do not have the words that are in our text. Our text says, "He was born blind so that, da-da-da-da." In the original Greek, it's not there. Instead, if you look at the handout, wherever it is, if you look at the handout, the script, so to speak, It says something different. Look at Jesus on the top. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answers, neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. Period. But, so that God's works might be revealed in him, we must work the works of God who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. You see the difference? One is, God made this guy suffer so that 30 years later, God could be glorified by a healing. It undermines everything in the gospel. And there it is. And why the NRSV editors, why they added that phrase, and I have no idea. But if you go to the Greek, it is not there. And what's there is what you have in your script, and that is, neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. But, so that God's works might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. It's a very different message. Here the message is, well, let me back up. Notice that Jesus does not answer the question. It's typical Jesus. People are always asking him questions, and he's always answering some other question. It's like Kellyanne Conway or somebody like that. I don't know. Like any politician. So he doesn't answer the question. But the question, not maybe here from the disciples, but the question from our hearts is not so abstract. I had a call 2 weeks ago from Joel, who's a rabbi in the condominium where I live, and we've gotten to be pretty good friends. And Joel was a very successful businessman who gave it all up to become a rabbi at the age of 73, the oldest person ever to become a rabbi in Massachusetts history. And he's a wonderful guy, wonderful rabbi, but he is, he has a child that just died with a young mother and father. And this child suffered greatly before dying. And Joel has to do the funeral. And so he called me because he knows I've been doing it longer than he has. And Christine also. Christine's been doing it longer than either of us have. What do I say? Because the first words out of their mouth was, what did we do to deserve this? What did we do to deserve this? It seems to be, it's a totally wrong question. It's completely wrong. And yet it comes out of our lips all the time. I am so shocked that when I was in a certain circumstance some time ago, I said, what did I do to deserve this? Knowing that God doesn't work that way. And yet it just seems so natural in the face of inexplicable suffering and things that we can't understand and we don't know what to do about, we say, what did I do? I know a very crackerjack Old Testament scholar who lost both of his legs to cancer. And he said his church was wonderful. It's when he was a teenager when it happened. And so the church was wonderful. But one man came up to his mother and said, don't you feel just a little bit guilty that you didn't feed him the right food and he got cancer? We don't know the cause of things, and yet we want to know the cause of things. We want to have an explanation that makes sense. We want to have an explanation that answers the question, what did I do to deserve this? And Jesus does not give an answer to that question. He doesn't even acknowledge it. He just says, neither sinned. But then he goes on to say, it's up to us to do the works that God has sent me to do. And we need to do them in the light, because when it's dark, it's too late to do them. What is Jesus saying? What he's saying is simply this, that there is suffering in the world. There is death in the world. And it's not fair. And there's no balancing of some kind of heavenly scales that God sends a little bit of evil here and a little bit of suffering there and a little bit of blessing here and a little bit of goodness there. That's in our heads and our imagination. It's in books and it's in stories and it's on television, but it's not real and it's not the way God works. Jesus turns the question into a task. Say, as long as I am here, you have light. Well, that's kind of scary because Jesus isn't here. He says, as long as I'm here, you have light. And what do you do in this light? You do this. You heal. This was one of the two most important norms of the early Christian church. The two things that galvanized the early Christian church. One was hospitality, taking in the foreigner, taking in the stranger. Even if you don't have food, you take them in. That's one. And the second was healing ministry. The Christian people began healing almost immediately, and it continues to this day. This is a task that Jesus gives us. He doesn't give us an answer to who sinned, except to say that sin has nothing to do with it. And then goes on to say, but there's something you can do to make a difference. Get away from the abstract theological questions and look at the human being. Look at the person in front of you. Look at the one who is suffering. And bring your healing presence to them. Jesus in the flesh is no longer with us. But even though the text says, there will be light in the world as long as I'm with you, the light goes on through us. We are the ones who bear the light of Christ in the world. As long as we are in the world, there is light. And as long as there is light, what? There is room and time for us to make a difference in the world. We can be healers. Doesn't mean that we'll cure people. We're not. We're not curers. We're healers. There's a big difference. Jesus calls us into the world to be part of the world as he is, to bring the grace and mercy of God to those who suffer. It's interesting that this blind man, he gets his vision, and then all of his friends can't agree who he is. They've so identified him as the blind man that now that he can see, they can't recognize him. And they have a big quarrel about who is he really? No, it's not the same. It's a guy, he just looks like our old friend from the Pool of Siloam. The shock is that we identify people in certain ways and we expect them always to be that way so that if they change, we don't recognize them. And even the parents aren't quite so sure. The message, the good news of this long story is that sin has nothing to do with our illness, with our suffering, our sorrow, but we have everything to do with it as we bring the light and love of Jesus Christ into the world, into the lives of those who need it. Thanks be to God.